Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Well, this is a pretty special broadcast for me since I just published my first book, and I really wanted it, you know, taken up. I talk to people about their books all the time on the show, and I wanted to take a little bit of a opportunity to talk about my book. And my book is called The Art of Psychic Reiki. Super pleased with it. Came out really great. And so I'm going to have our beloved studio engineer, Anthony, and I are going to talk about it. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Lisa.
I like our Anthony and Lisa shows. I think they're fun.
Me too.
All right. So, yeah, so I did this thing. I published a book.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome, Lisa. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, it was a bestseller, too. So I hit bestseller on, like, 5 different categories on Amazon. And that, I totally did not expect that.
It's a pretty big
but
deal.
I was really pleased. Yeah, it was kind of a big deal.
So what really is Reiki, though?
Like, okay, well, let's start with a nice Japanese lesson first, Anthony.
Okay.
And we say it Reiki.
Reiki, okay.
Reiki.
I've never been able to pronounce that correctly.
Right. It's hard because it looks like, you know, if you don't speak Japanese, how are you going to know that, right?
Right.
But it's Reiki. And Reiki actually means, if you break it down into the 2 kanji, that it represents spirit, energy. But it's really sort of universally understood, especially by Western Reiki practitioners, to mean universal life force energy. So Reiki is a really powerful but gentle energy healing technique from Japan that people use. You know, you can use it hands on the body or hands off the body. And it creates like a very gentle flow of energy, this universal life force energy. So I'm not using my energy when I do Reiki on somebody. I'm tapping into this universal life force energy. And it's kind of, it's really gained in popularity. Like, I've been practicing Reiki and teaching Reiki for 20 years. So I started in 1999. It's like probably the year you were born, right? I
don't know. No. I was born 11 years sooner.
You're a youngster. So I've been studying back then. Back then, like, when I first started teaching it and studying it, it was really sort of this esoteric, kind of edgy, weird thing that, you know, strange people did, and you kind of, you know, it was sort of very niche, you know. And nowadays, like, I live here in Boston on the East Coast, and nowadays there's Reiki practitioners in all of the big city hospitals here in Reiki, here in Boston. So if you go to a big, you know, Dana-Farber, the Cancer Hospital, or Beth Israel, they have a Reiki staff right in the hospital, and you can call them down into your room, and they'll work on you pre and post surgery. You can have Reiki to help you combat the symptoms of chemotherapy if you're in cancer treatment. And so it's kind of, at least on my side of the country, really kind of hitting the mainstream in a pretty exciting way.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. You started your professional life becoming a professional psychic, we know. When did you know you were psychic?
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing because, you know, most Reiki people don't teach psychic stuff. So I'm sort of this weird crossover between Reiki, and which is really this energy healing technique, and psychic work. So I've always really done both of these things. And I started working as a psychic, I don't know, I think I was 19 when I started doing that. So I was one of these, like, you know, I see dead people kids, and really always had sort of an awareness of these other worlds, this other energy, being aware that I was an empath, though of course I didn't have a word for that back then, so really sensitive. I could feel what other people were feeling. I remember when I was in third grade, I told people I could see auras, and then, like, nobody talked to me until high school after that. I was like, that was a mistake. But So I've just had this my whole life, this sort of other seeing things, seeing spiritual energy, seeing angels, seeing dead people, feeling them, knowing them, feeling other people's energy. And so I had sort of a strange spiritual upbringing by my, God bless my hippie parents, took me to transcendental meditation when I was 10, and I learned how to meditate. I was a martial artist when I was younger and studied martial arts, and kind of really began in when I studied martial arts, really began to understand the flow of energy, chi, through the body in a very particular way. And so I just started doing, I don't know why we think you can do things at 19. When you're 19, you're like, yeah, I can do that. Sure. And so I started doing that, and that was, quite a few years ago, quite a long, like a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away like that. And I've just been doing it ever since.
So you teach both psychic and Reiki,
Reiki.
Reiki. Why do you teach them together?
Yeah, it's kind of an unusual thing to teach them together, and it's really important to me to do that, because what I noticed is that as people study Reiki, it has a particular way of working with you when you practice Reiki and you study Reiki, that if you're already a little psychically inclined, like if you already have, if you're sensitive, if you're an empath, if you have underground or latent psychic abilities, studying Reiki can really bring that stuff to the surface. And to me, that makes sense, because those things, our sensitivities, our ability to feel what other people are feeling in our body. So when you're an empath, you put your hands on somebody and you can feel in your body what they're feeling in their body. That's physical empathy. Or this, we do the same thing with emotions. Like you feel with your emotions what somebody's feeling in their self. This is like the perfect diagnostic tool for a healer, right? So many, many, many sensitive psychics and empaths are drawn to healing work. They like healing work. They identify themselves as healers. They're interested in studying healing. And Reiki is like a probably right now the most popular, like, entry level healing. I call it the gateway drug. It's like the entry point in meditation and yoga are also really popular for doing this. But as far as healing goes, people get curious about it. Well, I wonder what that is. What does it mean? What is energy healing? Do I have that? Can I do that? I like to help people. That kind of draws them to the idea of Reiki. And Reiki is very easy to learn, so it's a great entry point. And then when you study Reiki, it begins to open these parts of you that are probably there already. And what I noticed over time on the 20 years that I've been teaching is that freaks a lot of people out. Like you're minding your own business doing a Reiki session, then all of a sudden you start seeing colors around your hands, or you start seeing colors when you close your eyes, or in sort of more extreme cases, you start seeing sort of people show up, like, oh, there was this person in the room with us that wasn't really there, and when you're not, when you don't, and I think those are very useful, appropriate, interesting things to happen in a healing session. But if you are not trained for it, if you're not expecting it, if you don't have a framework to understand, that can really be scary and freaky, So what I saw was people backing away from Reiki, from backing like, well, that's weird, that made me uncomfortable, that was scary, I'm gonna stop doing that. And that makes me sad, because I feel like the world needs all the healers it can get. It's kind of like my mantra. And it makes me sad when people step away from a path that might be good for them because they're scared of their psychic stuff.
Okay. But like, what is the purpose of your book? The book is The Art of Psychic Reiki. Now, is it more of an introduction to, can you learn techniques to actually use and benefit from?
Yeah, I think so. So it's really kind of like, it's more like a manual, you know what I mean? So it would be really, really good for people that are interested in Reiki and don't know anything about it, what are want an introduction to the practice of Reiki. And you could definitely learn from that. And then the other people that really might be interested in it are people that are already practicing Reiki and then want to add the psychic. So the book is sort of like half Reiki techniques and half psychic development techniques.
Oh.
And the other thing that I really work a lot in there is energy management for sensitive people. So it's this catch 22 that if you're sensitive and empathic, then you put your hands on somebody, like, how do we deal with that? How do we handle if somebody cries in a Reiki session, which people always do? I say men, when you give Reiki, men fall asleep, but women cry. You know, and I like, you know, people have an emotional release, which we want them to, because that's part of the healing. But if you're sensitive, that's hard for, maybe hard for you. And so I work a lot in, there's a lot of very practical exercises on how do you manage your energy? How do you ground yourself? How do you clear yourself? How do you protect yourself? How do you prevent yourself from picking up energy that your client is releasing? And there are three levels of Reiki. There's Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3. This book covers Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. And also, if you study Reiki, you also have to receive something called an attunement. And that has to be done by a Reiki teacher. So the attunement is the process by which the teacher passes the ability to do Reiki to the student. And it's done by using a breathing technique and these Japanese symbols that you implant into the energy field of the person who's receiving the attunement. And that process sort of permanently changes the person's energy field in a way that allows them to connect with this frequency of Reiki. Because Reiki is a really specific frequency.
Oh, wow.
And we need that. It's actually the frequency of unconditional love. Isn't that cute? So sweet.
That's very cool.
It's really cool. And so in order to pick up that frequency, it's like, you know, this is a radio station. And maybe somewhere there's a radio antenna, right, that broadcasts the radio signal for the radio station. Or maybe it's all digital now, right? But back in the day when there were radio antennas like that, that's what this attunement does. It sort of installs the antenna into you so that you can pick up and use this particular frequency. And what's so cool about that is that that is this unconditional love, universal life force energy, so that when you're doing a Reiki treatment on somebody, you're not giving up your own energy.
Right.
You know, and that for me, like, that's a thing, because I see 20 clients a week. I don't want to be giving up my own energy. I'd be tired.
So, if I was to be doing Reiki, would I be able to without being attuned?
No,
Not at
no.
all.
So no, you really need the attunement, and the attunements can be done long distance. So if you're really interested, I will totally hook you up and attune you long distance. It's kind of a cool thing to experience. And I mean, I do a lot of long distance attunements, and when I teach with people in the room with me, that I'm going to do, you know, do it there when they're in the room with me. But you really do have to have that part, and that's not something that you can get out of a book.
Okay.
So you could get a lot. There's certainly a lot of information in the book that would be, you know, it's pretty much everything except the attunement. And, you know, if people want an attunement, they can contact me and we'll work something out.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And a lot of times people will tell me, like, well, I really feel like when I put my hands on people, like, I talked to this lady the other day. She was a massage therapist, and she's, you know, got her hands on people all day. And she said, you know, I really feel like I'm giving them energy when I'm doing a massage. And I said, you probably are, but it's probably your energy, you know. And I'm like, are you tired afterwards? And she's like, exhausted. I'm like dead by the end of the week. And I'm like, you're giving your own. And that's what we do until we learn otherwise, until we learn some other technique that doesn't require us to give our own like that.
Okay. What are like some of the ways that you can improve your own psychic energy or your connection?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So, I think that there's a couple things that are really important. And that would be, first of all, paying attention. So a lot of people are getting psychic information all the time. And I actually make a distinction in my book between intuition and psychic. So I want to talk about that a little bit, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So intuition is like everyone has intuition. And intuition is like your inner knowing, like your gut feeling. And it's usually a combination of like what you feel in your body, what emotions like you're having, like I have a good feeling or a bad feeling about that, and what you know with your gut, like I knew that was going to happen. That's intuition. And everybody has it. And it's almost like instinct. It's like the instinctual part of us that is really tuned into the reality of what's happening around us. And I don't think we would have really survived as humans without this kind of intuitive way of being in the world. And you know, what's interesting about intuition is that it's always true, it never lies, and it often conflicts with what your mind is telling you. Like, right? So your mind might be saying, Anthony, why that person's a perfectly nice person. You should like that person. Everybody else likes that person. And your intuition's like, ew, creepy, run away, gross, like get away as quick as you can.
Right.
Have you ever had
Okay.
that experience?
I try to push that feeling away and give people the benefit of the doubt, but there's definitely
Yeah.
been times where I'm just like, I don't like you. Just
Yes.
like immediately.
Exactly that thing, or the opposite, you immediately like somebody, you know, and that's really like if you think about the like over the history of your life, do you think that your intuition is usually right more often than not?
I want to say yes, but I've never been given like enough information to prove it one way or another. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like because,
Hey, think about it.
yeah.
Like, you know, like as that happens again, like keep a little scorecard and see. Because what I notice is that your intuition is often right and your mind is usually the wrong one.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So that's intuition. Everyone has intuition. And the thing that, if you want to increase your intuition, what we need to do is pay attention. So you pay attention, like you have to pay attention to what's happening in your body. Pay attention to like the queasy, slidey feeling you have in your stomach. You know, pay attention to your gut, like your gut that's like, eh, or whatever it's doing, right? We have to pay attention. And then so that's the first thing, and lots of people don't. Then the next thing we have to do is act on it. This is the tricky one. And people don't want to act on it because in our society, acting on your intuition can make you look like a crazy person. You know, and it kind of goes against, well, it's not polite, or it's not the done thing, or you know, my mom said I have to like that person, you know, whatever it is. It's hard in our world to really go with our gut. We're not really set up for that. But you have to sort of respect it, and if you continually disregard, get the hit, get the intuitive hit and disregard it and don't act on it, eventually you shut yourself down.
Okay.
Right? So those are kind of the big things. Now, for intuition, so and then psychic is a little different. Psychic is like, if our intuition is like our inner knowing, our inner self, psychic is like the ability to get information from outside ourselves. So that would be talking to our guides, basically our angels, you know, your dearly departed relatives, your ancestor spirits. Whatever these healing guides, you gotta kind of takes a little suspension of disbelief for some people to believe that those beings are real. I don't know if I would believe it, except that I've seen them every day of my life since I was little. You know, I've ex had personal experiences with that. So I don't know. You know, take it with a grain of salt or go with your own, you know, with your own knowing of that. But psychic is like learning how to access information the outside of our system.
That kind of brought a question into my mind as to, is there a way to seek out guides? Is there some
Yeah.
way to try to,
Well,
find and maintain a relationship with a guide that might not like already have you on their radar, you know what I mean?
Sure, that's a great question. Here's what you don't do. You don't use the Ouija board. Please, please,
Right.
please, God. Okay? And if you do, don't call me afterwards when you have problems. Kidding. So the Ouija board is like the bad path to that. It's sort of like a doorway into a not so nice neighborhood, over there on the other side, and it's usually problematic. But there are all kinds of ways to do that. Meditation is a very good way to begin to do that. Prayer. So prayer, a lot of times when we pray, we're actually inviting, like if you pray to Archangel Michael, you're inviting the spirit of Archangel Michael to be in your presence. If you pray to Jesus or Mary, if you pray to the Buddha, whatever deity, Thor, I'm the under god, you know, whatever deity of your choice, right?
Okay.
We can invite those beings in. And a lot of times when you start working with these guides, and, you know, it's interesting to me, I read a Gallup poll when I was doing research for this book. It was from like maybe 2010, and they surveyed like 5,000 people on this topic. And like 80% of them, 90% of them, people said that they had had an experience with something they couldn't explain. And a lot of times it was sort of like the deathbed, somebody had passed away and they'd had a visitation from that person who passed.
Oh, wow.
Or they said that they had felt like they were guided by an angel in some like moment of crisis or trauma. And it's like 90 to 80, 85, 90% of the people they surveyed said that. And then most of them said, oh no, I don't talk about it because I don't want people to think I'm crazy.
Right.
You know? So we can invite them. We can pray, we can invoke, we can invite, we can meditate, and that tends to bring forward. And I think like a really good practical tip is, well, I always tell my students to start with what I call their psychic journal, you know? And there's going to be a journal that you start writing things down in, which helps you pay attention. You write down your dreams. You write down the hits that you get. I like, if you want to develop your psychic, I'm a big fan of divination tools. So learn the tarot cards, learn the runes, learn the I Ching, learn something, angel cards. If there's a million out there and they're all good, learn something like that that you're going to do every day, because your guide, when you're a beginner, your guides are going to begin to talk to you using these divination tools. And then you write that down in the journal, right?
Okay.
And once we get information like that, what I think it's super cool is to begin to look for signs and omens in the world that reflect that. So let's say you get a new guide and you're working with an angel. You're going to work with an angel, and the angel's name is Fred.
Okay.
And Fred the angel gives you a message, and then you might look for a sign in the world. Oh, you see a penny. You see a feather. You see something, you know, like that, that's going to help you understand that it's real. I think that's a really important, and when those things really consistently line up, we can feel like we're sort of confident.
Right. So how do we kind of manage this, this energy? Once it begins to manifest, it needs to be continually like maintained.
Yeah, you know, I think spiritual practice, so making quiet time to listen, which a lot of us don't do that. So finding a way to connect, finding a quiet time is really good for that. And then working on boundaries. So sometimes people get over flooded or overwhelmed with stuff, and that's, I think, the scary part. So using the energetic basics of grounding, clearing, and protecting, and boundaries, so that you can. That takes practice. That's a little bit of a muscle that you have to practice. And I do go into that in the book. How do we turn it on and off when we need it? How
right.
do we really master it and manage it?
Okay. Is there anything that you want to say to aspiring healers out there?
Yeah. I would say really learn. Keep studying. Keep learning. Keep stretching yourself into new things. Help find a mentor or teacher to help you, you know, work through any parts where you feel stuck. Or, you know, I think it's a hard path to do alone. So join a group, get a teacher, and definitely check out my book if you have an interest in Reiki or psychic development at all. It's pretty good. And you can get it on Amazon, on my website, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of, you know, Goodreads, all of those venues have it. And you can get it on my website, which is lisacampion.com. And on my website, I also have psychic development classes. Some of them are free. Some of them are really pretty cheap and quick and easy and powerful, and some of them are more expensive, longer video classes that really go in depth. So there's kind of like entry level, beginner, medium, and even advanced psychic development classes available on my website. So I hope you come on over to the website and buy the book and check out my psychic development classes if you feel called to it.
That sounds phenomenal. I think I'm gonna check it out and learn some more about it, and maybe even get attuned. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll totally attune you. I'll
oh my
totally
goodness.
Hook you up.
All right. Very cool. Thank you so much, Lisa. This has been Very educational and so interesting.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for having we had Lisa and Anthony time today. It was fun.
Thank you.
And thank all of you guys who are listening to the Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing, and we are doing it one person at a time on Empower Radio.